We read this morning from Luke's Gospel, the very end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words to you that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, give us a spirit of wisdom and discernment so that we may come to your word in our truest selves, prepared to have it shape and mold us as your people. God, give us a spirit of courage so that we may be challenged, so that we may be undone, so that we may become something new, so that we may bless the world that you have called us to serve. We ask these our prayers in your Son's holy name. Amen. There is buried very shallowly in the gospel the entire rhythm of our lives. There is in the story of Jesus a rhythm that is repeated over and over again in our own lives in ways that are full of joy and a hint of sadness. I lived a long time without any sense of how this rhythm that we see in Jesus' life is mirrored in our own, or at least without the ability to name it, mainly because I never understood that the ascension of Jesus was such an essential part of the story. And because I never understood the ascension, I never really understood Easter or all of the waiting around stuff that happens after Easter is over. And because I never understood ascension, and because I never understood Easter or all the waiting around stuff that happens after Easter, I never really understood Pentecost either, which is next Sunday. So, in other words, this is important. Yes? With me? And so if you never pay attention to anything that I ever say again, or as Robin reminded me this morning, you've never paid attention to anything I've said previously, if you pay attention to this, I think you will see your life in a way that you never saw it before. It happened for me in a few pages that I read by a Catholic priest named Ronald Rollheiser, in a book called The Holy Longing. And this book was given to me. It was not a book that I ever would have bought for myself, which is sort of what grace is, isn't it? Something that was given to you that you would have never gotten for yourself. Anyway, Rollheiser says that we make a big mistake thinking that Easter is one story that is tied up in a bow and ends at Easter, and that Pentecost is the start of a second story, the story of the church and of God's people. Actually, he says they're all one story in five parts: crucifixion, resurrection, waiting, ascension, and Pentecost. Jesus dies and Jesus is risen, but there is a significant piece to the story that you might not notice if you're not paying attention to it. If you read John's Gospel's account of the resurrection, there are Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener, and then she realizes that it's him, and she has this sort of joyful, ecstatic moment. But Jesus says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. In other words, do not be fooled in this moment into thinking that we are going to go back to the way things were before, as if all of this never happened. Do not cling to me. Something has fundamentally changed, and there's no turning back. There's no going back to the way things were before. Rollheiser says there's a difference between resurrection and resuscitation. So like Lazarus was resuscitated. He was dead, and Jesus brought him back to life, and Lazarus went on about his life doing the same stuff that he was before. But it didn't spare Lazarus from death. He would one day leave that life behind. That's resuscitation. And then there's resurrection, which is what happens to Jesus. Jesus dies and is raised again, but he doesn't go back to the life that he had before. He is raised to a richer life, a life that he would not die from again. So resurrection, as good and miraculous as it is never a return to what used to be. And so this means that with resurrection joy, there is a little bit of grief. There's a little bit of bitterness that's swirled in with the sweetness of resurrection. So like, you have a falling out with a friend of yours, and then somehow you manage to put things back together again, and maybe you're better friends than you were to start with, but they are not, things are not the same as they were before it happened. Or like a couple goes through a difficult period in their marriage. Maybe there's infidelity or something that happens that takes a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment to put things back together again. And in fact, putting it back together again feels just as miraculous as an empty tomb. But they are not the same people. And this is not the same marriage that they had before all of that started. And so there's grieving to do because there is a necessary time to adjust to a new reality. I liked what I had before, and I like what I have now, but it's not the same as what I had before. And so this is why there are 40 days between resurrection and ascension. This is why we have all these weeks to hear what it was like in the days after Easter. In the days after Easter, we hear that the disciples, they went from the ecstatic feeling at Easter, and then the next time we see them, they're shut up and locked in a room, afraid. Because now what? And so if the disciples will ever learn to flourish and thrive in a world that is post-Easter, they have to accept that what Easter has given them is a resurrected life, an entirely new life. It's not a better version of the old life. It's something altogether different. So they have to let the reality of what their lives used to be, back when they were on the road with Jesus, back when they got to sit at his feet and listen to him teach, and back when they got to see him interacting with people and witness all these miraculous things, they have to let that relationship with Jesus go. And until they can let that old reality go, until they can let their natural desire to go back to what is familiar, until they can let that go, then they will not be able to receive the Spirit that Jesus promises to send in our passage this morning. He says, if you will wait here, you will be filled with power from on high. But if they can't let go of Jesus in that moment, then they will never receive that Spirit. And it's actually letting go of that old reality that opens them up to the Spirit that we hear them get at Pentecost. And Rollheiser says there's a difference between life and spirit. You can be granted a new life and a new beginning, but in order to find joy in it, you need to receive the Spirit of that new reality, the way that the first Christians received that Spirit at Pentecost. In other words, you can be living, existing, putting one foot in front of the other, going to work, going about your day. You can be living, but that's something different from spirit, which is living with joy and living with purpose into the life that you have been given. So he describes a couple that's been married for 15 years, been married for 15 years. They're 15 pounds heavier, at least. They're 15 years older. There's 15 years of water under the bridge between them. There's all the grief. There's all the stress. There's all the anxiety that's passed. There's all the joy and all the laughter and all the sweetness that those 15 years hold. And he says, I'm quoting him now, they can cling to what they once had, that special passion, and crucify what they have presently by that romantic ideal. Or they can grieve their honeymoon and receive the spirit for a couple who have been married for 15 years, which is a different spirit than the spirit for one who has been married for 15 minutes. And if they do this, then their marriage will be infinitely deeper than it was way back then during the passion of honeymoon. And so this is where, if you miss the ascension, then you miss Easter. And if you miss Easter, then you miss Good Friday. And this whole thing is meant to be a whole rather than something we break into pieces. Ascension is about refusing to cling to an old reality. It's about refusing to cling to a life that is gone and not coming back. God help us if there were ever a moment, a message that the church universal with a big C needed to hear, it is that it is time to let go of old realities. So like this particular church hasn't been around that long, but there is an army of churches and Christians who think that the renaissance of Christianity in the West is going to make the church look like it looked when we were young or when our parents started them, and the church was full on Sundays because we opened the doors. That's why it got full, is because you flew the doors open and people came in by the droves. But the church is not being resuscitated, it's being resurrected. Which means we are not getting our old lives back. We are not going to go back to what the church was when we were kids or when we were young adults or whatever. Something new is being born. But before we can live into what is being born, we have to let go of what was. We're always, all of us, today even, you are somewhere in this cycle of these five events. So as he's talking about all the ways that life mirrors this, Rollheiser repeats this refrain to help us see that there are all these little deaths and resurrections that happen over and over and over again in our lives. He says some people in the world, some of the happiest people in the world are 75 years old. And some of the most miserable people in the world are 75 years old. And the difference is, one of them has grieved their youth and let it ascend and embrace the spirit of what it means to be 75. Some of the happiest people in the world have endured significant brokenness in their lives, and some of the most miserable people in the world have endured significant brokenness in their lives. And the difference is that one of them has been able to let that brokenness ascend and receive the spirit of Pentecost. Some of the happiest people in the world achieve everything in their lives that they set out to achieve. And some of the most miserable people in the world never achieved their dreams. And the difference between the two is that one of them was allowed the reality, the old reality of the dreams they thought they dreamed, to go and receive the spirit, the blessing of dreams they never thought they could dream. And so he says the point is that happiness and unhappiness with an ongoing relationship are not contingent on the length of time that we interrelate, but upon undergoing the paschal mystery. That's what he calls these five things. That is, constantly naming the relational deaths that we are undergoing, claiming the new relationship that has been given to us, grieving what has died, letting it go, and then receiving the spirit for the relationship that we are, in fact, already living. So this is really all I want to tell you. That's all I wanted to tell you. But that, I think that's plenty, actually. I want to tell you that the string of events that take place between Good Friday and Pentecost Sunday, death, resurrection, grief and adjustment, ascension and Pentecost, these five things are happening over and over and over and over again in your life. all the time. And part of claiming Easter in our lives, having resurrection be real and joyful, is realizing that ascension has to come too. We have to let go of the old. We have to let go of our desire to get our old lives back. And in order to receive the spirit of a new one, we have to let go of those old expectations. I wonder, how many of us have wasted the gift of resurrection because we would have rather been resuscitated? We'd rather have our old life back than have the new one God is trying to give us. How many of us have kept Pentecost from coming because we simply would not let go of the life that is already gone? Where are you in this moment? Maybe you came here holding something that you've been holding for 40 days or 40 months or 40 years that you wouldn't let go of. Or maybe you came so full of the Spirit because you finally let go of something and the breath of God's Spirit has blown on you and filled you with joy and purpose for your life that has blessed you. Or maybe you're in the midst of feeling loss. Wherever you are, there is the promise of resurrection, ascension, spirit. There is constantly this work and movement of God in our lives. And when Jesus leaves his disciples, it says he holds his hands up and blesses them, and that the disciples departed joyfully. And this means, I think, that the 40 days took. Because the disciples were able to look upon the Jesus that is leaving them, not with grief, but to receive the blessing. To receive the blessing of what he has been, of all he has been. To receive the blessing of belonging, the blessing of following, the blessing of having learned and been present to God. To receive that blessing and then let it go. And now Pentecost can come. Now the church can be born. Now we can live into the life that God had planned for us all along. What is it you're holding on to? Can you loosen your grip so that Pentecost can come in your life? Amen.